Iraq's President Saddam Hussein today dismissed the threat of a U.S. invasion to remove him from power. Anyone who attacks Iraq will die, he said, in disgraceful failure. Saddam addressed the nation on the anniversary of the end of the Iran-Iraq war. He called any attack on Iraq an attack on all Arabs. President Bush said yesterday that no decision has been made on whether to invade Iraq. He said consultations with Congress and America's allies continue. German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder is the latest European leader to come out against the campaign. Opinion polls across the continent reflect the public's opposition to military moves against Iraq. NPR's Guy Raz reports from Berlin.
If the European papers from London to Berlin are to be believed, war with Iraq is just around the corner. Leaders in Europe have picked up on the speculation as well. Chancellor Schroeder found a wildly receptive audience this week when he kicked off his re-election campaign with this strong speech against what he called any American adventures in Iraq.
Ich warne davor, meine Damen und Herren.
I warn against talk of war and military action, the German leader said. Those who are making plans for such actions should have a political framework for doing so. Schroeder is not alone in Germany. His opponent in this fall's general election, Edmund Stoiber, has also expressed doubts about a possible Iraq invasion. With few exceptions, there is broad consensus on the continent against such an attack. Wolfgang Gerhardt is widely viewed as the man who could be the next German foreign minister if Chancellor Schroeder's Social Democrats are ousted next month. Here's what he has to say about Euro-Atlantic relations.
We would like to ensure the friendship, but we would like to tell our American friends that we prefer multilateral approaches in international questions.
The perception from this side of the Atlantic is that the Europeans have no influence over U.S. policy when it comes to issues like Iraq, Afghanistan, or the conflict in the Middle East. Newspapers tend to paint a grim picture of transatlantic relations. The U.S. administration is unilateralist, brash, unrefined, and unwilling to take advice from Europe seriously, they write. Samuel Britton, a columnist for the Financial Times, has been following the Euro-Atlantic relationship for 50 years. He says the history of the post-war relationship between the U.S. and the Europeans can be written as the history of moving from one crisis to the next.
In those days, European leaders, because they needed the American nuclear shield, would tell people that they can influence more by talking quietly. Now they think they can influence more by talking loudly.
Professor Ingo Peters, director of the Transatlantic Institute at Berlin's Free University, has also been following the Euro-Atlantic relationship for the past decades.
We just have to remember the early days of the Reagan administration. What a fuss was made here in Europe about this unacceptable kind of president that was really out for a second Cold War. Confrontation was his kind of strategy to deal with the Soviet Union, and that wasn't the Europeans' choice.
Peters points to a dozen other examples when the talk of a new Euro-Atlantic rift dominated headlines across Europe. In the 1960s, over whether Europe should form the Organization for Security and Cooperation. In the 1970s, over whether to shift Cold War strategy from massive retaliation to flexible response. And in the 80s, over where to mount nuclear-ready missiles. The key difference today, he points out, is the absence of a traditional Cold War conflict. But while European pundits write column inches about the new Euro-Atlantic crisis, Ingo Peters insists the fundamental relationship remains virtually the same.
Is there still basically a kind of foundation of cooperative culture, or does this not exist anymore? And I would question this kind of general crisis talk.
Here's what an editorial from The Guardian, a leading British daily, sounds like. In the end, the paper writes, the United States may find that it's done its cause, its friends, and its own true interests little good. Was The Guardian reacting to U.S. talk about a regime change in Iraq? No. That editorial is from 1962, right after President John F. Kennedy announced a missile launched against the United States from Cuba would be regarded as an attack by the Soviet Union. Guy Raz, NPR News, Berlin.